You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are on AM 1510. Our dial is WWBC. We're on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We can also be heard all over the world on the World Wide Web. Thank God for whoever created the World Wide Web.
Right on 1510wwbc.com. You just hit that on-demand button, and you can. You might have to download a little something, but it should come up pretty quick, and you can hear us live anywhere in the world.
Or they could listen on Sita Media Inc. because there's a podcast of all the shows. Mm-hmm. There's a little triangle. You just hit that, and you'll be able to tune into all our shows that we've had. Every week, Ellen O'Neill and I, my co-host, we sit here with Paul, our producer. And we heat up the airwaves with things that are going on around the nation, right here in Brevard, and all over the world, actually. We kind of know everything. And I like what Kim just said. Our in-studio guest is Kim Meredith.
Hi.
Thank you. She's a small business owner. She lives right here in Atlantic, in the Atlantic. And she's the owner of the, Paradise
Central.
City Bistro. We're just going to go with, you've lost a couple of businesses due to COVID-19.
Yes,
so we'll be talking about that in the second segment. Ellen, our first segment is with Senator Lori Berman. She is a lifelong and loyal Democrat who has fought for progressive values for over 7 years in the Florida House. She serves on the Democratic floor as leader. And I know she's on the phone, so I'm going to have her tell our listeners a little bit about herself. And today, I asked her to call in because we need people who are supporting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to call in, share their ideas, what issues they're looking for people to talk about, what issues they're supporting. And so Lori's on the phone. So thank you, Senator Lori Berman, for taking the time out of your busy schedule and calling in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you so much, Sita. I'm so happy to be here with all of you. Like she said, I'm Senator Lori Berman. I represent District 31. It's in Central Palm Beach County. I served 8 years as a representative in Central Palm Beach County and the last 2 years as a senator for the area. And it's been my honor and pleasure to do so. In a year ago, May, I endorsed Vice President Biden for his position in the Democratic Party to be our nominee. And at that time, I did it because I felt he was our best chance for beating President Trump, and I also did it because his policies and mine align. And I have to tell you, since then, I am more proud than ever with that decision that I made over almost a year and a half ago. He has really shown himself to be a true leader, and we saw that certainly when we just saw the debate last week, which was very upsetting, I think, for most people. And we saw him, you know, take the high road, try to talk about policy despite the fact that his opponent was attacking him personally. And the policy issues that he discussed are the issues that are important to me. He talked about the environment and how he wants to create jobs, green jobs, and put people to work in that industry. He talked about health care. How it's so important to him, and we've seen that his child, he had, two children and a first wife who died, and then his child, Beau, died recently, and he talks about how they didn't have to worry about health care and how important that was, and how he wants every American to be in that position.
Right. And you also are a survivor of breast cancer. So you understood when he talked
correct.
About his son, Bo Biden.
Yeah. Biden.
Yeah, I know. And I saw that and I said, and that's one of the things that I like about you too, is because like so many of us, I also was a Joe Biden supporter from early on. And some of the things that he spoke about is some of the things that you also, the issues that you stand up for, like women's rights and common sense gun violence prevention measures. You are a great advocate for traditional public schools, expanding high quality healthcare, and you fight for our seniors. And so we thank you for, endorsing Joe Biden early, because a lot of us who were watching what you were doing in Tallahassee as well, you inspire so many of us. So I just wanted to thank you for that, Lori.
Thank you so much. And I got to tell you that hearing people like you and seeing my constituents at home and all the Floridians are the ones who give us the strength to go up to Tallahassee and to really raise those issues, because as you know, we're very much in the minority party. And a lot of times we don't get the legislation we want, but I feel like our voices are important. And in the end, we can and do make a difference. It just is very much, you feel sometimes you're tilting at windmills, but I'll tell you a really good story about gun control and common sense gun control. After Parkland happened, I had had a bill that was pending, and my bill was called the Risk Protection Order. And when I had filed the bill, there was absolutely zero chance that it was even going to get a hearing. And then after Parkland, my bill became the law, and that's the law that says that police officers can go to court and ask to remove a gun from somebody who's a danger to themselves or to others. And I have to tell you, that law has been used thousands of times in the state of Florida, including last week in Fort Lauderdale with Trump's former campaign manager, Brad Pascal, who you might have seen on the news, was threatening with his guns, and they have filed, and he has agreed to give his guns to the police for custody for now.
Yeah, I saw that, and my heart broke for him, because he was depressed, I think. Something is actually going... So I'm glad that was passed, because a lot of us were praying for him to recover and get the mental help that he needs.
Right. And that's a big part of that bill, is we're worried about people who are going to commit suicide with the weapons, and that's really why it's important. I put in the bill when I filed it, and I've still been filing to get this included, that family members should be allowed to go to court, that it shouldn't just be limited to police officers. Because who better than a family member knows that one of their family members is in crisis, and they don't necessarily want to have to call the police because there's a mental crisis going on in their home.
Right.
So I'm still hopeful that we can expand the law a little bit, but I'm really happy that that legislation that I filed became part of the law in the state of Florida.
Well, you also helped pass legislation banning employers from discriminating on the basis of pregnancy, and you also
correct.
Introduced a bill to ensure that women receive equal pay for equal work. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been, fighting for women's rights in Tallahassee for the last 10 years. We're still trying to get Florida to be one of the states to ratify the ERA, and you never know, we may get there at some point, but at least we now have 38 states that have ratified the ERA. And that was an important goal that we were able to reach, even though Florida wasn't one of the 38. But now I would say equal pay for equal work is still an important issue that we're going to be continuing to advocate for in Florida.
So
hopefully we can get that on the agenda.
Yeah, so Senator Lori Berman, tell us, you've been married 34 years, right?
Actually, 35.
Yeah. Tell our listeners on Viewpoint with CNN Friends, how do you find that balance with all that you're doing and making us so proud in Tallahassee and standing up for so many of us? We need your voice. So we want you to share with us that's a secret, actually. Not many people are married that long.
Thank you. No, thank you for all your compliments. You're so sweet. My husband is extremely supportive, and that's really important. If for anybody who wants to go in politics, man or woman, you need to have a supportive spouse. And my husband has always been there. He has a crazy schedule too. He's a periodontist, and he guest lectures and speaks all over the world. So it worked out nicely when I got involved in politics because he has a lot of other things that he's involved in too, so we make it work. And it's been kind of interesting being home these last 6 months with him. We've had more time together than we've had in a long time, and we're still all good. Everything's working out well.
Yeah, I think respect. Well, it's kind of like, you know, when you have respect in a marriage, everything falls into place, right?
Correct.
So tell our listeners, you said you're supporting VP Joe Biden for the presidency, and so am I. And so give us some of the issues facing our country and our state today. And tell us why are those issues so important when you tie it into the presidency?
So it's truly amazing to me. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that the major issue for our state, our country, our cities, our counties is coronavirus. It is just astounding that we had a president who chose not to do anything about it and left us all on our own. And in our state, unfortunately, our governor followed suit and left the counties and the cities pretty much on their own to try and figure out how they were going to address the issue. And the virus has upended our lives. It's killed 200,000 Americans, and it's shuttering our small businesses, preventing our kids from going to school, keeping us from getting together with our friends and family. I mean, a woman just passed away in a nursing home in Miami basically because they said she was so lonely. She didn't die of the virus. It was the loneliness that the virus caused. And you know, we know that the plan that Vice President Biden has put forth would certainly have put us in a better position. He would have used the Defense Act to make personal protective equipment. He wants to hire more people to go out and be able to do contact tracing in the community. So the virus, until we get the virus itself under control, we can't really get our economy back moving the way, and our society the way that we want it to be. We can't, you know, all pretend that it's not here. And unfortunately, what happened in the White House this last week showed us that. This is a very, very contagious virus, and, you know, anybody can get it if we don't take the proper precautions, and unfortunately, leadership has been very lacking on this issue. And we've seen our businesses suffer so much. We need to be doing more to help businesses. President Biden would do that. We've seen our unemployment situation in Florida be an absolute disaster. And there's no question, everybody agrees that the Connect system has failed our citizens miserably. In addition to that, I think our unemployment that we have in Florida has been, the amount and the weeks that we give are among the stingiest in the nation, and that's something we're going to be addressing in legislation, because people can't live on what we have in Florida for unemployment. And then overlaid on those crises, we've seen the racial injustice crisis, and we've had our continuing existential threat from climate change, which we see in more hurricanes, fires out west. So we've got really, really big problems right now in the world.
Yeah, like you say, a lot of things are brewing. And the other thing we're seeing too is that the Hispanic families are being hit disproportionately.
Correct.
And it's almost like, I think I read somewhere where it says that one in three Hispanic small businesses has taken an economic toll due to COVID-19. You add that into the healthcare situation, and we have an issue here in Florida where Hispanics need to stand up, take a look at their own lives, their families, their friends, their communities, and recognize that voting for the Biden-Harris team is actually in their best interest. Won't you agree?
Absolutely. You know, for sure. And today, Joe Biden is in Miami, and he's meeting with some of the Hispanic community down there. So I'm sure he'll be making the case for why it's so important for Hispanics to vote for him. He's also meeting with the Haitian-American community in Miami. You know, we've seen all minorities. African-Americans have been disproportionately affected by COVID also. So it's kind of, a result of some underlying issues, why they are disproportionately affected. And those are underlying issues that haven't been addressed, like the lack of good health care for certain communities, the lack of appropriate housing for communities. So those are all things that Vice President Biden will be a leader on and make sure that we start to right the ship right now in America, because we are not in a good place with COVID, and we need somebody who's going to have a comprehensive and clear plan to get the virus under control and get Americans back to work again.
Right. And I'm glad he's meeting with the Haitian community, because that community has been hit pretty hard with immigration. I'd like to see them reinstate the DACA program and ensure that the Haitian people are treated with respect and dignity that they deserve. Because I work, as you know, I'm a nurse in long-term care, and I work with a lot of Haitian Americans. And when you talked about the nursing home patient who passed away because of loneliness and depression, I can tell you we do have a lot of our seniors who did not have the luxury of taking a ride when they got the coronavirus to see their relatives like the president just did. But my Haitian American friends, they know so many people who are very, very sad and worried and concerned about their immigration status right now. So I think it's good that VP Biden is in Miami, and he's talking about halting deportations for undocumented immigrants who have been living and working in the United States during, you know, his first 100 days in office.
Right, and it's interesting, you know, the Republicans talk about how much they care about all these other countries, but like Venezuela, for instance, where, you know, there's just so many people wanting to leave and come to the United States, and then they get here and they don't, we won't give them the temporary protected status. The Republicans continually vote against it, even though they talk about how we don't want to be Venezuela. So you can be sure that Vice President Biden is going to protect people from all these countries who are coming here to save their lives and their livelihoods, which is opposite of what's happening right now under the Trump administration.
Yes. So we're all watching what happened in the White House, and a lot of us are praying for a president, whether we
Absolutely.
Like him or not. We
Absolutely.
Want him to
yeah,
recover,
of
right?
Course.
And
of course.
And so many people are watching the scenario, and they're saying that the information that we're getting from the president's doctors, some people just don't believe it. They feel as though the information is coming out drip, drip, drip. How do you feel about what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now? Do you feel as though the American people are being told the truth about the president's condition and his staff that are infected with COVID-19?
I really don't know the answer to that question, because we've been told so much misinformation and lies over the last, you know, several years that it's really hard to figure out what's really going on. I mean, I watched the doctor's conference yesterday, and by not answering the question of whether he had oxygen at all, we know that he must have had oxygen. But the fact that you can't get a straightforward answer to a question is disturbing. I mean, there should be transparency. This is the President of the United States in a hospital. Obviously, he felt better yesterday to pull that little stunt where he subjected the Secret Service people to being exposed to COVID. But my husband's a doctor, and I said to him, you know, he looks a lot better than when he looked on Friday. And my husband said, well, he's on steroids, and steroids will do that to you. They make you look and feel better, but it sometimes masks the way you really are. So I wonder how his lungs are. I think people ask that question, and we never got an answer. I mean, does he have scarring? Is there potential?
Oh, is he going to be one of the long haulers? My husband is also
right.
an emergency room physician, and when a doctor or a scientist is sitting there and watching the news, and you're hearing about the timeline of the virus, and it just didn't make any sense, because, you know, we want to put our faith and trust and we want to respect the doctors, but it seems as though something doesn't add up sometimes when you look at the whole thing. Like, when did this all start? When were we
right.
supposed to know? Did it spread at the event when they were talking to, you know, Amy Barrett?
Amy,
I mean,
Cohn, right?
yeah, nobody knows. But anyways, to transition away a little bit from that, somebody sent me a text this morning, and they said, make sure, just to ask you, what is your reaction to the report by the New York Times
on President Trump only paying $750 in federal income tax.
That's astounding. I mean, I wish I only had to pay $750 in federal income tax. That is crazy. It's funny, when I was growing up, my dad always said, you know what, if you have to pay taxes, that's really good because it means you made money and you should be proud of that. And I am. I'm proud that I'm a pretty big, good taxpayer to the U.S. Treasury, and it's shocking that the President of the United States is not. And I think he should disclose his tax returns. We've asked for it for many, many years. Now we're finding out why he won't, because there's lots of things in there that are pretty disgraceful and that he is embarrassed about. And we really need, you know, I would like to see a law that all presidential candidates have to disclose their tax returns, because what we also don't know is they say he's tremendously in debt. And who are his creditors? Who does he owe money to? Because that affects how he acts and things that he's doing in terms of possibly foreign policy. For all we know, we don't know who are the big debtors, who are the big creditors. So I really would like to see us change the law and require everybody have to. If you're going to run for president, you need to give your tax returns like the Bidens have done.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and Kamala Harris.
They actually, when they say make America great, they should actually put America first as well, because we do need leaders like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris with experience, composure, compassion, and who will unite our country. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Senator Lori Berman, and she's taking the time to call us from Tallahassee. You're in Tallahassee today, right? Or
no,
are you home?
Palm Beach. No, we're
you're
in Palm Beach. I'm in Palm Beach.
In District 31. Yeah. So Lori, how do we heal our divided nation? Because I put two Joe Biden signs in front of my home, and the two signs were taken. So I put another two signs, and another two signs were taken. And there's some Trump signs on the other side of the street. They're still up. But I said, you know what? God gave me the ability to put the signs up. I'll put it up again. But the hate and the fear and the division is so much right now in our country. What can we do, ordinary citizens, to bridge that divide and say to people, listen, the best form of getting to know someone is communication. Talk to each other, because at the end of the day, we all want food, water, shelter. We all want to pay our taxes so we can have education and roads and public health and safety. I don't understand the people who are so hateful and screaming at us when we're waving signs and calling us socialists. Like, dude, we're not socialists. We're just paying for social programs, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, the hatred and the division in the country right now are at such a high level. It's so disconcerting. And I really think it comes from the top down, unfortunately. And I think the only way to change it is to change what's going on at the top of the ticket right now. I'm hopeful that Joe Biden will become our president. And we've seen, like you said, he's a unifier. He's empathetic. He will bring the country back together. He talks all the time, I'm not going to talk like the president talks about blue states and red states, because we are the United States. And that was always the Obama theme. And that is the theme of Vice President Biden. And we need to change that dialogue. I will tell you, in Tallahassee, even though we are the minority, there is much more camaraderie. And like you said, we share bread. We try and all make more of an effort to get along. And I'd like to see that all throughout the country. And I feel like, you know, don't fear the debate. The debate is not the problem. You need to have debates, but it needs to be about policy, and it needs to be done in a civil way. And unfortunately, right now, that's not happening. Everything's become so personal and not civil and uncivil in the discussions. And I'd like us to. So I think if we start talking about civility and we start having debates about policy, you know, I think it was the quote from Ruth Bader Ginsburg: "Advocate for what you want, but do it in a manner that you bring other people along with you." And that's what we've all got to do in this country. And a lot of times, you know, I don't know when compromise became such a dirty word. I'm a big believer in compromise. If I get part of what I want and you get part of what you want, and nobody's 100% happy, but we got what we want, I think that's usually the best legislation that we end up with.
Yeah.
And instead,
but we compromise. Well, you know, Laura, you hit the nail on the head, because we compromise with our neighbors.
We compromise at work. We compromise in our marriages. We compromise with our children. Lord knows my children who are adults, they have a lot to say about me sometime and my weight gain and my clothes and my hair, and I compromise. But the thing is, I live in a neighborhood where I'm probably the only Democrat, and my neighbor has a Trump flag and I have a Biden flag, but we get along. We can have wine over the fence during COVID-19. Yep. And so I don't know when compromising and sitting down became such a horrible thing, because nobody in government, it seems, and well, when you look at social media and you see what's happening with both sides, the people on the extreme left and the people on the extreme right, they seem to be drowning out those of us who are in the middle that actually do believe in compromise. And how can we fix that? I mean, what do we say to both parties who's got all these fringe elements that just won't give up their beliefs in what they think they're doing is right?
I mean, I think that this, I think things are really heightened right now because of the election. I think this next month is going to be worse than ever. But I think that after the election is over, everybody is going to need to regroup and recognize what we are talking about, that compromise is good, that we need to be talking to each other, that we need to be having discussions, that and they need to be policy-related and not personal attacks on each other. And I think we just need to all lead that way, and hopefully it will change the discourse that's been just so horrible in this country right now.
Yeah, and I like that VP Biden says he wants to restore the soul of our nation, that he will put hope over fear, science over fiction, and truth over lies. So, Senator Lori Berman, with the remaining minute left, if there's a voter who's sitting on the fence and still undecided, what would you say to that person to say, hop over the fence and vote blue?
Thank you. So I think the last week has given you every reason why you need to hop over that fence and vote blue. You saw the president's performance in the debate. It was the most unpresidential performance we've ever seen. John Meacham, a great historian, presidential historian, called it the lowest point since Andrew Johnson did his racist papers. That was, you know, over 100 years ago. So that alone, and then seeing that the White House has become a super spreader because of the fact that the president has given the message that masks were unnecessary and that people could get together near each other. We know that it's not that way, and now we've seen it, and he has just upended our lives, and we need some more stability, consistency, empathy, and Joe Biden is that candidate.
Well, thank you so much, Senator Lori Berman, for taking the time to call in. We really appreciate all that you and Anna Ishkamani and Carlos and everybody else is doing, and for all of us. And today's the last day to register to vote, correct?
Right. Important. That's really important. So please, if you're not registered, do it today, because you want to be able to vote. This is, you know, we always say it's the most important election, but it is really important. So please go register today if you're not registered. And thank you for having me so much, Sita, and I really enjoy talking with you.
Yes, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. And if you want to get in touch with Senator Lori Berman, you can contact her at the Boynton Beach office at 561-292-6014. She's a District 31 Palm Beach County Senator. So, but we are going to take a quick break. And we're
thank you, Lori.
Yes, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Families will love the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra's Music at the Watering Hole, a free online family concert. The program will feature a stimulating original story by national best-selling author Michelle Wallace Campanelli that will come to life on screen with a film presentation created and directed by award-winning Mendex Studios. King of Africa, Kojo the Lion, was surprised when a box fell off a tourist bus and dropped a symphony of musical instruments near his watering hole. With a great love for music, Kojo decides to bring all of the wild animals of the savannah together. Could these natural enemies learn to get along to become an orchestra? And just what would they play? The concert will feature music from Madagascar, Lion King, Zootopia, Jungle Book, Jurassic Park, The Croods, and more. So once again, that's Music at the Watering Hole, Sunday, November the 8th, at 3 p.m. This is a SpaceCoastSymphony.org online event. Music at the Watering Hole, Sunday, November the 8th, 3 o'clock, SpaceCoastSymphony.org. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud 9. That's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9. Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends in Florida, right here, Cocoa, Florida. You know what? I like saying that because people always say, well, where are you guys broadcasting from? Mm-hmm. Cocoa, absolutely. Florida, right? And so we had a really great, robust session, the first segment, with a very loyal Democrat, Senator Lori Berman, and she serves in District 31.
Yes, in Palm Beach County.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that in the end, because people
want to know where people are serving, their district, their boundaries, whatever it is.
Well, and the cool thing is, too, is that you got to remember that you can contact, I mean, certainly she's not in our district here in Brevard County, but you can contact any one of our representatives anywhere in the state, especially if you want to have a conversation with them about what's going on or about legislation that they're trying to pass. Remember that each one of them has a different platform of
right.
what they're doing. So maybe one.
Well, not the
connect.
Democrats. The Democrats are pretty unified in.
No, I mean, each one has a different legislation that they're pushing for.
Right,
so
right.
Lori Berman did a lot of work for education and for
women's rights.
Women's rights as well.
Yeah.
And I love that she's over that. She's all over that unemployment.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's one of us, Kim.
Yeah, she really is. Real. She seems very approachable.
So Ellen O'Neill is here for our second segment, and Kim, and I decided for the rest of the month to just have people who are real, people who have been affected by COVID-19, to be part of our show. It's kind of like real session people segment, right?
People who are now poor?
Yeah, people who are. So that's why I decided that Ellen and Kim and I, Kim Meredith is here, and she's the owner of City Bistro. It sounds so...
It's like an auditorium.
Yeah, it sounds so exotic. Yeah.
Sessions.
So we're going to talk a little bit with Kim Meredith about what happened to her business post-COVID and where she is now in her business. And of course, did she get any assistance for her small business? So Kim, why don't you tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and of course Ellen as well, because I think you all haven't met before, right?
I haven't.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself, and let's go right along with this segment.
Well, I'm originally from Detroit, so I've seen the civil riots in my lifetime in Detroit, and lived through that, and remember that, and feel like we're doing it again. But I moved to Melbourne Beach, 1979, and I own the Ocean Cafe there since 1994. Just sold it this past February, right before COVID, and had City Bistro and Satellite, which is closed due to COVID. That was a venue for small weddings, businesses, things like that. That one we're just not going to recover with. And just before this COVID, I had signed a contract with the City of Melbourne to do their food and beverage at the Melbourne Auditorium, and I think I signed my contract February 9th, and the governor closed us down on March 6th. So I have been out of work since March 6th. No help PPE.
How do you survive? I mean, here you are. You have a thriving business. Everything is going well. People are coming to the auditorium, and then all of a sudden, boom, doors are shut. What if you don't have a rainy day fund?
You know, we went through that rainy day fund really quick. And we changed our lifestyle. We've literally changed everything. I am going to tell you, I always like to start with the positive, spending time with my family, because being in the restaurant business, I don't think I've been home in 6 years. All of a sudden, my kids are hating me. I have a 15-year-old and a 6-year-old at home that they're like, don't you have to go to work? Can't you go somewhere? Can't you? But we have done the stay at home. We've done homeschooling. We're doing the homeschooling thing. I haven't letting them out of my sight or out of my house since March 6th, since spring break. So I've changed my life, but the positive of it is I am enjoying that family time so much. But it has definitely been life-changing.
Yeah.
We've gotten lots of laptops all over the house with the homeschooling, and we're eating meals in and just trying to stay safe.
So how did you hear about the small business loans, and did you get any assistance from the state of Florida or from the federal government?
I did not. I did not get anything. I can tell you that I filed for unemployment, because I do take a paycheck. I pay myself a paycheck. And, of course, since I'm self-employed, they gave me a big $125 a week, which I was like, okay, I'll take that.
Better than nothing, right?
And I can tell you, after receiving it and getting a big $3,100, they just sent me a letter that I was just sharing that says, we don't feel that your unemployment is a direct result of the pandemic. And now they want that money back.
But how? So, I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
So when Lori was talking about our broken unemployment system, I can tell you firsthand, it is well beyond broke.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to write them a letter? And you have to fight that.
Yes, I filed an appeal, and you're just in that waiting game on that connect, and you just check it every day and hope that. And in the meantime, you just try to survive. Fortunately, I have a really close and big family, so we're a village, and we're all just helping each other out. I know I have a older brother who's actually staying in my house, and people keep saying, why are you living with your sister? He's like, we're a village. I have to help her out. I gotta help my little sister.
Yeah.
So we're just all trying to do our part. So financially, we're just hoping the business gets back open. Still waiting for the governor to, since we are a venue, I know the gun show was this weekend. I think the attendance was over 4,000 people. But yet I couldn't have any tables out where people could sit and eat. So it's still hurting me today.
So were they able to at least buy some of this delicious food?
You know, they could get whatever they could eat walking around, they could get this weekend. So it was just now getting back rolling. We're going to, I don't know what's ahead of us, though. I mean, is it going to get worse? Is it going to get better? We live in the unknown right now.
Yeah, and we are a village. So Ellen, what are some of the issues that are most important to you this election cycle? Like, today's the last day to register to vote. So usually people have like three or four top issues. And mine is education and health care. And most important, finding we won't find a cure for COVID-19, but I'd like to see a vaccine. I'd like to see our state open up. I'd like to see businesses open. And I'd like to see we stop the bleeding from COVID-19. So yeah. What are your three?
Well, certainly getting businesses open is the biggest part of it, because most of my business is all affected by that as well, because when businesses aren't open, obviously they're not spending money on training and they're not spending on trying to improve things. They're just trying to survive at this point, right?
Right.
So I see a lot of my friends, and much like Kim, a lot of the smaller business owners that I've been working with have really suffered. And there really isn't, and Anna Ishkamani and some other folks have been on the show before, and even they have a tough time getting through to find out about PPP for the Paycheck
Protection
Plan. Yeah,
and they work
there. And they should have a direct line. And actually, there have been interviews on TV, on West 13 and so forth, of other people that are trying to support small businesses and trying to get through and get unemployment fixed, get all kinds of things fixed, and there is no direct line. And even the senators and even the representatives of the state are having a tough time getting through and getting answers. So
right,
it shouldn't be that way, right? No, not at all. And that's where,
the compromise
like the state,
comes in. That's why you have to compromise.
I don't know about a compromise. The state needs to come together and figure out how to fix this, because there's too many people suffering at this point.
Well, the Democrats are putting out their plan, and the Republicans are here. Each side has to meet in the middle.
Plans don't feed people. You know what I mean? And that's what we're at right now. I mean, a plan is great. I mean, that's fine and well for right. But there are people that are really hungry and starving right now. And not just physically not being able to get food, but certainly starving because, their lives have changed. Their lives have been uprooted. They don't know what they're going back to, if they're able to go back to anything.
Well,
so
I think everybody's life has changed, right?
Yeah.
So, Kim, I mean,
one is health.
Right.
The health care,
right.
Obviously, we want to make sure that everybody's getting, and from an education standpoint, it's very concerning that, there's a big meme that's out there that's kind of funny, that they say that in 10 years we're going to worry about our kids that are being taught by day drinkers. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of people that are out there.
So public education.
Public education. We really need a better plan for that as well.
Right.
Especially as we're going through this now.
Right. So, Kim, a lot of businesses, business owners were complaining that the big banks got bailed out first. The big businesses got bailed out first. And the small mom and pop businesses did not. So why do you think that they did not do that? Because Joe Biden has a plan, of course, to help small businesses. But
that's why we need Joe Biden. Absolutely. I mean, he is first of all, he's for women. And I love that. I feel like we might finally get a little support here in the minority companies. But it's just like me not getting PPE because I had under three employees. I'm a very small business.
Yes.
And there was just no resources for us. And I did reach out to, it's funny because you were saying you can go outside of your like for Lori.
District,
that
yeah.
You can go outside
yeah.
your district, because I actually, Randy Fine mm-hmm. actually helped me get unemployment. His
yeah.
secretary mm-hmm. actually got me my unemployment. So I need to call him and go, thanks for getting it for me, but now I got to give it back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I would talk to him about that as well.
Right.
So.
You know, I think the big thing for me, though, is the unknown. We just don't know what's going to happen next. And it is going to take a long time to recoup. So even when I'm back to work, it's not like I'm going to be able to pay myself. I'm just going to be trying to stay in business.
Yeah.
So life has changed. Life has changed.
Well, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris has a plan. They have concrete plans, actually, to getting economic relief out to working families and small businesses. They do want to extend unemployment. But you know what? I was telling somebody the other day, I mean, people were getting the $600 plus the $275, which was $875 a week. A lot of people got that. And now we're at a standstill where we're not sure what they're going to do. Well, give people 70% of that. They could still some people will try to survive on that. Because, I mean, how do you pay your rent, your mortgage, car payment, put food on the table, which is $275 a week? And in your case, $125 a week. I know they
yeah.
want it back. So if you, but where do they want you to get that money from?
Right.
If you didn't have the money, if you didn't have the money to take it from a bank account to live on, where do they think you're gonna get it to give it back to the state? That is just ridiculous.
Right.
You know? So what about education? What are your top, the other two? Of course, you're concerned about small businesses.
You know, I can tell you that I just got my first report card. So I just passed first grade. I got outstanding,
yeah.
outstanding. Doing the home skill first grade, so I'm doing pretty good working with the teacher. I think it's a good system they actually have going. It's working well, and we're going to stay on this homeschool as long as we can.
Well, there's five pointers that they said we should make like a mental note of it before you vote. Of course, I know who I'm voting for, but the number one is make a list of issues that are important to you. This will help you choose a candidate who cares about the same things that you care about. And you can divide them into two separate categories. You can have social and economic. Use a variety of news source when researching information, regardless of your political affiliation. We were just talking about that. What about Fox News? So switch around. Go to MSNBC, CNN, Fox, read Bloomberg News, the New York Times, because you get a lot of information. How do you feel about that?
I'm a fact checker. I'm on Senate.gov and I'm on Congress.gov because I'm a Facebook person, you know, especially now that I'm home. I've got time to play. And when I see something that I know is absolutely nonsense, I'll go to one of those sites. I'll pick out, I'll get the actual bill that's written. I'll paste the part on that Facebook and go, no, this is really what happened.
Yes.
How did you even get that? So I'm all about finding the facts. So I try not to buy into, because Facebook, that's what it's become also, just like Fox News being entertainment news. We need to get the right information to make the right decision.
Yes, and a lot of people feel like Fox News is biased towards Republican voters, and they feel CNN is biased towards Democratic voters. So you really need to do your own research,
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad you're doing that. The other thing is, Ellen, you will like this one. It says, watch the debates. Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent, or maybe you're none of the above, I don't know how you can be, you should watch the debates and try to figure out who's speaking the truth. Now, we all watch the debates, and we know what happened. It was a disaster. It was a disaster. And you know what? I don't know. I was watching it, and I kept saying, the nurse in me kept coming on, right? Because I'm like, I want to go on stage through my TV, put my arms around Joe Biden and said, it's okay, I'm here.
Yeah,
I can shield you because I'm a nurse. Yeah, it was like, it was crazy because every time he tried to get a word in, President Trump, just his voice is booming. So you can't really hear.
Well, and I heard that the next debate that they are going to give the moderator the opportunity to just shut the mic off.
Which I think,
so they won't be able to be heard.
And that's so sad that you have to do that with grown adults.
But that was a kindergarten show.
Yeah.
That was a pulling each other's hair and, you know, calling each other's mom's names kind of show.
So you think there'll be another debate? I think he's going to get out of them.
No, there is going to be another debate.
Be.
I mean,
but
they,
you know something
that
should be the precedent, though, of is that the moderator, if the moderator's not strong enough to shut them down, the mic gets turned off.
Right,
because it was just grotesque, and I felt really bad for the young people that were watching it. because there's their example of adult behavior.
Yeah. The other thing is they said to talk with family and friends. Well, here's the thing. This election has divided so many families. I really don't know who's going to eat the turkey for Thanksgiving. Some people are going to be left with a big old turkey and their stuffing and sweet potato pie and everything because families are not going to show up because our country is so divided. I always say food, which thank God for City Bistro, right? it kind of brings us together, right?
But what's going to happen? We have our morning coffee every morning and we are so different.
Yeah.
In our politics, but we both want the same things. I always say it's not the Democrats, it's not the Republicans, it's the extremists on both sides.
Yes.
Because us in the middle, we can have that coffee. We can sit at the dinner table at night because we really do want the same things.
Yes.
And so it keeps us grounded.
I became more of a constitutionalist, you know, really about learning about the laws and the things that instead of necessarily the people, about the laws and the things that we need to do in order to make things better in the country.
Right, and you shouldn't have a conversation with a person who is not, like I'm a Democrat and if I'm speaking with a Republican, I want to have an open mind. It's very important to agree to disagree respectfully because you always walk away learning something if you have an open mind.
Well, every time you'll say something and I'll go, hold on. Let me fact check that. I want to see if that's for real. 1 minute.
Right.
Yes. But I mean, if some people cannot start have a conversation and have an open mind, and that's when trouble starts, I think, you know, because you got to have different viewpoints and you have to have a good attitude as well. Right. The other thing is don't let your affiliation with a party make your decisions for you. Like you should make your decision based on what affects you, your community, and your family and friends, right? Like women's rights, for example, equal pay, choice. Those things are very important to me.
Voting has to be on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, LGBT rights.
Yeah.
Things like that. That's all personal.
Yes. What do you think about that, Miss Ellen? I mean, you can't let the party make decisions for you. You really need to look at both sides and see what's working for you.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, and that's where I think people have lost the good active debate. I don't think people can have conversations anymore without calling people names for some reason. And the second part of it is that exact thing. We should be able to be open-minded like what you said before.
Right. I mean, like healthcare, for example. I am concerned about the ACA. I think it's very important that people understand. Certain people get Medicaid, but some people fall into that gap where they don't make enough to afford private insurance. They're not old enough to get Medicare. So what happens to those people in the gap? We need a president who would say, I'm going to expand Medicaid in all 50 states. Or we need a president who says, if you're 54 and you can afford to retire and buy into Medicare, pay your premium and buy into Medicare. Or if you have a job and you like your employer-sponsored insurance, keep it. So I think it's very important at some point you have to go outside of party lines and do what's important for you, not the political party, right? Because politicians can afford to pay their insurance. People on the street can't. It's Main Street versus Wall Street at that point, correct?
And I feel like we will lose our insurance.
Mm-hmm. Mine just went up. I just got the renewal for next year. And mine went up, and I have the ACA, and it went up considerably.
Yeah.
And you know, so I don't know how families that are, you know, scrunching every penny, right? Stretching every penny. I don't know how when their insurance goes up, how they're going to be able to handle that.
Well, I went back to work so I can have. I mean, if I stayed home, my insurance would be like $700 a month, mm-hmm. and that's my money that I use to take my trips. Mm-hmm. Or give to a candidate, or give to a cause, or give to my children. So it's important to vote according to your interest, not somebody else's, right?
Right, that's right.
And people say, oh, well, because of Obamacare, my insurance is going up. No, that's not true. Insurance was going up way before Obamacare.
But going back to the other piece, too, I think people get too attached to what the emotion is of somebody else instead of realizing that they should be voting their own conscience and voting their own predictability of what they want and what they need out of life and what they need out of their representatives or out of their city. And just be conscious like that. If everybody did that and would just be concerned about themselves a little bit and be concerned about their neighbors, that, you know, at least this way we don't get people all charged up about things that that we have to fact check.
Well. Look at we were waving signs this morning, and this guy rolled his window down, and he goes, "Biden is a socialist," and I'm like, "So you know, I'm,
where did
I'm,
they get that?"
Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, dude, when you go to work, they take a little bit of your taxes, and not everybody pays it, anyways, right? But you pay for roads, you pay for schools, you pay for healthcare, you pay for the military, you pay for the VA, you pay for law enforcement, you pay for Homeland Security. We are all collectively paying for what we all use. And one guy, you know, I was talking to another fellow, he says, well, the Cubans are all voting Republicans because they're afraid of communism and socialism. I said, okay, who's taking care of your grandparents? Oh, they're on Medicaid in a nursing home. You just rest my case. Same. What do you think about that when they scream out the word socialism?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. And that's what, you'll see me, I've got 20 posts just in the last 2 days. Who said he's a socialist? Where do you get that?
Yeah, and these are the same people who are using WIC, Medicaid, their grandparents in a nursing home, or their mother and father is in a nursing home. Who do you think is paying on Medicaid $7,000, I think it's about $6,000 or $7,000 per bed in a nursing home? It's us, the taxpayers. So cut it out. I tell them all the time, cut it out. You know, it's just a silly thing to be talking about. Here's the other one. They said, keep an open mind. Go into research, trying to see where each candidate is coming from. Don't discard someone simply because your best friend says they're ridiculous. Like, Joe Biden comes from Scranton, Pennsylvania. He thinks like Main Street or Wall Street. Main Street. He thinks about the guy who's working every day, brushes teeth, put his clothes on, and goes to work. Or the woman. President Trump thinks like the stock market, right?
And, you know, the economy, when people say, oh, the economy is so good, it was so good.
Well, for who?
For me, it wasn't. Yeah, not for me, it wasn't. So when you say personally for me, it was not. It was not that good.
Yeah.
So I can't figure that one out.
So, Ellen, I don't know if you got a chance to look at the menu for City Bistro.
I did.
Where Kim Meredith has her contract with the Melbourne Auditorium.
Not just hot dogs.
Look at the menu. And the thing is, you can go to the Melbourne Auditorium. You could have a show. You can attend an event. And there's a place to get something to eat. Everybody wants to eat when they go to an event.
Absolutely.
So
and
we'll
are
have
you
to,
only open during events?
You know, I do a lot of custom. I do a lot of custom stuff. So I make these pasties from Michigan, Cornish pasties. I make crumb cake from New York. And then I am a Cajun chef. So jambalaya all the time. So I take special orders.
And you're one of the only certified special kind of chef as well.
I am. There's not many of us that have a CEC on our jacket. Yes, that day is gone. Everybody.
So how do people get in hold of you to do these special orders?
City Bistro. Shall I give the number?
Absolutely.
321-437-1567.
And you can find Kim on Facebook as well under Kim Meredith, M-E-R-I-E-D-E-T-H. And also City Bistro is also on Facebook as well. But amazingly enough, this show went so quick today.
That's because it's fun. When you that's why I like Kim. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have her come on the show and chat with us.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
And we're going to try and get you some more help. And find out where we can get all that.
There we go.
But thank you, everyone, for turning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Please tune in next week, Monday, for another great show.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne.